Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about the government's decision to set aside 300 MIQ spots for health workers and his thoughts on National's reopening plan, which would reopen the economy on December 1st, regardless of vaccination rates. But I began by talking to Andrew Little about the vaccination rates for Māori at Taranaki and Tairawhiti. So it's been 8 months since money was made available by Cabinet to train Māori vaccinators and set up a Māori vaccination program. But 8 months on, even after Super Saturday, the rates in Taranaki and Tairawhiti are still very much lower than the national rate. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. So, extra support and so on has gone in to those regions, but the reality is you're dealing with a lot of people who have not been connected to the health system for a very long time, if ever, and they are in that kind of classic hard-to-reach category. But that's why working through Māori health providers and others, we support them to do that work. Their challenge they've laid down is actually some of the support they've been getting hasn't been enough, and it is pretty clear too that things like getting the right information, getting the right data to help them support their campaigns, that has not been forthcoming. So some of that goes to relationship issues between the DHBs and those Māori health providers. There's been a lot of work in the last few weeks about trying to kind of reset that. Getting around Taranaki in the weekend and talking to some of the Māori health providers, they're saying that the relationship is now a lot better, but that is something that has happened literally in the last few weeks.
Well, is it acceptable that Māori health providers, especially in Taranaki, have to resort to crowdfunding for a mobile vaccination clinic?
Yeah, I certainly saw that in Tairawhiti. And again, the call has gone out. What is it that you need? In the end, these things come down to the relationship between those providers and the DHB. They should not have to be crowdsource funding for a bus to go and get on the road and roll out their vaccination program. The DHB should be supporting them in that. So look, there's ongoing dialogue with some of those providers to say, we need your efforts to be focused on actually getting in touch with your people, talking to them, and getting them vaccinated. You should not have to be doing that fundraising. So, look, we're trying to do what we can at the moment to address that.
But in general, after 8 months, should Māori vaccinations should be stripped from DHBs or the Ministry of Health and given directly to Māori health providers instead?
Well, they have been in large parts of the country. That is in fact what has happened. The Māori health providers have been contracted to run the vaccination program. And I know I've been to vaccination centres run by iwi health providers. I went to one in Tamaki a couple of months ago, run by Ngāti Whaita Ōrākei and Ngāti Pāua. And, so that has been happening, but there are some parts of the country where the DHB does not seem to have buddied up with the local Māori health providers in the same way, and we're seeing the results of that. So as we know with this pandemic, it has exposed a lot about our health system and the way it works and the inequities in it. This is just another one. This is a good reason why we need the reforms.
Why is the relationship not that good?
Well, that's a good question. It's not something I can easily drill into, but when Māori health providers say to me the relationship isn't that good, they don't engage very deeply on issues, they don't get a lot of cooperation, I take them at their word, and it is for DHBs to step up and provide leadership and get on and make that relationship work. DHBs have a statutory duty to ensure that the health needs of their relevant population are being met. And one of the ways that happens, particularly for Māori, is to be in touch with and engage with Māori health providers. It's my expectation that DHBs do that. Some are doing it better than others.
Okay. Going on to my second topic for the day, recently you announced that there will be 300 dedicated spots in MIQ for healthcare workers, but these won't be kicking in until November. Well, are you leaving this a little bit too late?
No, we've always had, we brought a lot of health workers across the border to fill gaps since the lockdown, or since the pandemic started last year and the borders were closed. So we have brought a lot of people through. There was meant to be a system where there were a dedicated number of places but it just has not been working effectively. And I've been, in the time I've been health minister, called on, I think, four times to intervene with different organisations, DHBs and PHOs, to try to work out how to get particular much-needed workers across the border. And I've done that, and in doing that, I've said, well, what is the problem here? It turns out that the system hasn't been particularly streamlined, that the whatever allocation was in place before hasn't been well utilised. So I've worked with colleagues and the officials in the Ministry of Health and Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment to make sure that there's dedicated space and that there is a streamlined process for organisations to get health workers who they recruit offshore over the border and into our health system. So that is now in place. It kicks off from the 1st of November. But there's now, you know, best part of a week for health organisations who are waiting to get people across the border to contact them. They can get the arrangements in place and we can get those places filled from November.
You said you intervened four times since you got the health portfolio to let health workers into MIQ. How many in total got sped up?
Well, on those four occasions, it would be probably, on one occasion it was four people, another it was a couple of people, and then one each for the other. So not huge numbers, obviously, but it was a way for me to sort of understand practically what is and isn't happening, and actually there was more not happening than happening. So that was the spur to working with officials and other ministers to make sure that we can kind of clear the blockages, get some streamlining and get the thing working. I think part of the problem was that a whole heap of different organisations were all kind of applying through the old process, and they're all being treated kind of separately, not necessarily seen as sort of priority health workers. So we've changed that process. There's now the dedicated spaces, 300 spaces a month for health workers. I'm confident that that'll make a big difference in terms of getting those folks across the border.
Would you prioritise certain categories of healthcare workers?
Oh, look, there's a lot. We have massive shortages, you know, nurses, specialists and aged residential care. That, you know, they're trying to get nurses across the border too, and other healthcare workers. So there are a lot of vacancies everywhere. So we'll just do the best we can to fill those places and get people who are waiting to take up employment in New Zealand, and likewise employers in New Zealand waiting to get the healthcare workers into New Zealand, we'll just fill those places up as quickly as we can.
Would you see to grow more MIQ spots in the future? As you said, there are a lot of vacancies hanging around in the system.
Yeah, look, managing the MIQ sort of capacity is a challenging thing at the best of times, and we are adding capacity. And we know, look, there's a lot of New Zealanders who are not healthcare workers who want to come home, and we need to get them places in the MIQ as quickly as we can. The way things are going with vaccination levels rising and getting to a point where we won't need to isolate as many people in MIQ facilities, more people can isolate at home or be cared for in their home, means that some capacity will be freed up eventually, but it is a constant balancing act to deal with that.
Okay, moving to my final topic for today. Well, National announced its reopening plan yesterday, saying it will reopen the economy in 6 weeks at the start of December, regardless of vaccination rates. I want to know, what are you thinking about this?
Well, we want to reduce the restrictions as quickly as possible, just like everybody else. But the reality is we still have pockets of the population who are not vaccinated and who are therefore exposed and who are therefore remain a risk to the rest of us, because while they're unvaccinated, they are more contagious. And if they do contract the virus, they're more likely to get a lot more sick and put pressure on our health system. So we have to weigh all those sorts of things up. I mean, there was a lot in that package there that frankly didn't add up. There's a lot of things they want to spend money on, they want to reduce revenue, and then claim that they're going to repay debt as well at the same time. So, look, I think we all want to get to the ideal spot where we can start reducing the restrictions, get back to kind of life as much as possible as normal. But the overwhelming sentiment I get and my colleagues get from New Zealanders is, but you've got to keep us safe. We want to be kept safe from the virus. And so we are in that constant juggling act to do that.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.